Good morning. On Wednesday of this week, Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds and I will be joining the Healthiest State Initiative and the Blue Zones Project to announce a second round of Blue Zone demonstration sites. The sites announced on Wednesday will join Mason City, Cedar Falls, Spencer, and Waterloo. Last October, we also announced 9 front porch communities, towns of less than 10,000 people, who would also work to become Blue Zones. They include Algona, Audubon, Decorah, Fairfield, Harlan, Osage, Red Oak, Spirit Lake, and Woodbine. In communities large and small, progress is being made on this ambitious effort for Iowa to become the healthiest state. There are places that are activating evidence-based Blue Zone practices. These practices engage citizens and help transform communities to help people live longer and better lives. The Blue Zones Project is a community-by-community well-being transformation, an opportunity to change the infrastructure of our state where every healthy metric is better headed, has been headed in the wrong direction. We have been, every one of these metrics says the state of Iowa has been headed in the wrong direction. So trying to turn a big battleship like this is no easy task, but that's exactly what the goal of this ambitious project is. Our goal is for Iowa to become the healthiest state in the nation. I think the state of Oregon is going to challenge us in this. Governor Kitzhaber, who is another comeback governor, he's also a medical doctor, has indicated, and he's going to invite me to come out, and we're going to talk about how we can compete, and we can get maybe other states competing in this ambitious goal. This goal is rooted in our belief that Iowans must take ownership of their own health and make good health care decisions as well as good lifestyle choices. This goal can only be accomplished by making our health care system more focused on quality and returning the health of the patient to the top priority as we empower Iowans to lead healthier lives. And now I'm pleased to introduce Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds to discuss another Healthiest State Initiative event that's going to occur this week.
Thank you, Governor Branstad, and good morning. You know, since August of 2011, the Healthiest State Initiative has been engaging Iowans all across the state. They have organized 2 of the Healthiest State Walks, with each walk having more than 290,000 participants statewide. The initiative has connected thousands of Iowans with wellness initiatives and also connecting them with volunteering opportunities. Iowans of all ages have been empowered by the Healthiest State Initiative. And in fact, just last spring, Governor Branstad and I joined students at West Ridge Elementary School in West Des Moines. After they had participated in the first Healthiest State Walk, they decided one walk was not enough. And instead, they chose to keep walking. The students used pedometers from Wellmark to walk a combined 1 million football fields, or 56,818 miles, and really the entire school got involved. The art department created a giant map to track their progress. Writing and history assignments included reports and poems about the countries that they were visiting as they mapped their walk. And math skills, which I'm promoting, were used to track their steps and calculate the distance that they had traveled. This Thursday, January 31st, the Healthiest State Initiative will join us at the Capitol for their Day on the Hill. So beginning at 10:30 in the morning, the Healthiest State Initiative and their partner groups will be set up in the Rotunda. And they're going to provide information on the My Plate Initiative, including tasty and healthy food samples. That's always a big draw in the Rotunda. And Governor Branstad and I both will be visiting the Healthiest State Day on the Hill, and we look forward really to helping the initiative carry on the great success that it's had and to work as we all continue to work together to become the healthiest state in the nation.
Okay, we'd be glad to respond to your questions. We'd like to take them on the healthiest state first. Well, first of all, let me say, Iowans believe that health care reform is absolutely important to lower costs, and unfortunately, the experience we've had with expansion of Medicare has not done that, and it's not led to a healthier state. Back in, when I left office in 1999, we had 250,000 people on Medicaid. We now have 400,000 people on Medicaid. But we've not become healthier. We've become less healthy. At the same time, the total cost of Medicaid has increased 129%, and now totaling $3.5 billion annually. What's most frightening to me is that despite the expansion of reimbursement coverage during the same period of time, our health has gotten worse. Obesity and chronic diseases have not gotten better, they've gotten worse, and our health care costs have gone up dramatically. Further expanding Medicaid doesn't show that it's going to change this. So we need to do a different approach, and that's why we embarked on this Healthy Estate Initiative. We've got to get people to take ownership of their own health. We've got to get people to decide not to use tobacco products, not to take that, you know, extra drink of soda or that extra helping that is causing them to gain weight. So expanding Medicaid without attention to the impact that it's going to have on the health of our citizens, I don't think is the answer. Now, we have the Iowa Cares program, and we're looking, and that has provided assistance to a number of Iowans, and we're looking at further restructuring and improving that. Right now, basically, it focuses on Broadlands and the University of Iowa Hospital. But we think that we need to be doing things that are really going to partner with people to become healthier and not just assume that if we buy into a federal program, that's going to do it. And I guess the biggest concern I've got is you're going to see this play out in Washington over the next few months. But the federal government is running up a $1 trillion plus deficit every year. And the biggest drivers in that are the entitlement programs. And the big entitlement programs are Medicare and Medicaid, and as well as Social Security. Now, they're going to have to address those issues. If you look at it and you look at the growth that's going on in those programs, that plus the interest on the national debt is going to eat up the entire federal budget. And in fact, right now, if you took away the borrowing power of the federal government, that would be the case right now today. It's a dangerous situation this country is in. And then they want us to believe the federal government is going to pick up the entire cost of Medicaid. Now, the history of it is on these entitlement expansions, the federal government promises that, and then the states that buy into it end up under the requirements of maintenance of effort, getting stuck with maintaining the cost of it. And the burden is shifted to the states. That's why many states are choosing not to do this. Now, initially, the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare required this of the states, but the Supreme Court stepped in and said, no, this is unconstitutional. You can't force this on the states. This needs to be an individual choice. And so we think we need to look at better choices that can give us a healthier state than just buying into something that we think is unaffordable and unsustainable.
On another topic,
okay.
Same question to both of you. Are you going to run for the U.S. Senate?
Well, in my case, I love this state. I came back to run for governor because I felt I could make a real difference in this position. Over the years, I have been encouraged to run for the Senate a number of times, and I've always said I'd love to run, but I don't want to serve. I don't want to go to Washington, D.C. I don't want to spend time there. I don't mind visiting the place, but I love this state. I love this state, and I don't want to spend 6 years in Washington, D.C. So that's my answer.
Well, I love this state, too, so I want to make that clear from the very beginning. We're just a little bit competitive when it comes to that, but I've spent most of my career in public service. I was flattered to be included in the list, I'll be honest, but, you know, Governor Branstad and I'm very fortunate to serve as a partner with him, and so we've worked really hard the first 2 years to really bring stability back to the state budget and really create an opportunity for Iowa to be successful in the future. And so I'm looking forward to really focusing on the agenda that we put in place so that we can really get Iowa to the next step by creating jobs, helping business expand and grow, restoring our education system, and of course, making Iowa the healthiest state in the nation. So we're focused on that right now. I love public service, and I love serving as Lieutenant Governor.
So are you ruling it out? Are you saying no?
Well, I'm going to keep my options open, but I tell you what, people, no. What I'm telling you, the takeaway from this press conference is we have a very focused agenda, and we're going to work really hard at getting this done. I'm proud of where we're at. I'm proud of the tough decisions that have been made. We have a tremendous opportunity to work with the House and the Senate to put in place significant reform. It's 2013. Let's get these great things done. Let's show D.C. how it's done in Iowa, and then we'll look at 2014. So we have a great opportunity, and I look forward to working to get that done.
Well, first of all, let me say, no, let's not jump to any conclusions here prematurely. I have made it clear that a final decision on that doesn't get made until 2014. I want to, first of all, say I appreciate Senator Harkin's long service to the people of Iowa, and I want to thank him for what he has done and what he's accomplished, especially for people with disabilities. He's been a real champion on that subject, and we're looking at the National Governors Association is going to be focusing on that as well this coming year, and Senator Harkin and I have already talked about things we might be able to do together on that. Also on agriculture, he and Senator Grassley have been champions for agriculture and renewable fuels and things like that that are important to our state. So I want to thank him for his long and distinguished service to the state of Iowa. I also think it'd be a mistake just because he has made an early decision not to seek re-election, to all of a sudden shift to politics of 2014. We have important policy decisions at both the state and national level to be decided in this year, 2013. This nation is in dire financial straits. You cannot continue to spend $1 trillion more than you're taking in. The federal government is going to have to do what we have done and what other states have done, and that is make the tough decisions, get the country back on the right track. This can be done. All you have to do is look to the north at Canada. When I was governor before, back in the 90s, Canada was in dire financial straits. In fact, the IMF was about ready to come in and take over. Their dollar was only worth 65 cents of the American dollar. Their taxes were high. Their deficits were huge. And their financial institutions were weaker than ours. I come back as governor, and I find the Canadian dollar is now stronger than the American dollar. Their financial institutions are stronger than ours. They've got their financial house in order, and they're not running huge deficits. And they've reduced their taxes, their national tax for corporations to 15%. And the job growth rate in Canada is about four or five times what it is in America. So we can learn some lessons from the tough decisions they made and the way they've turned things around in the last 13 years, and that's what's going to have to happen at the national level in this country, similar to what we've done and what many other states have done, primarily, I guess I would say, with Republican governors.
Lieutenant Governor, have you heard from many people asking you to consider running for Senate?
Well, I think everybody's name that's been listed has probably been heard from somebody, so of course there's the good amount of support, but I think all names have probably received that same amount of support, so. But see, I'm focused on taking Iowa to the next level. I just can't say that enough. I'm really proud of the decisions that have been made and the opportunity that we have to really take Iowa to the next level. You know, unemployment at 4.9%, but we can do better than that. We can really have fundamental, systemic, educational reform in the state of Iowa. We have a tremendous opportunity, and that is honestly where my focus is going to be. We just got done traveling the state with the governor's condition of the state, and we had an opportunity to be in front of a lot of different individuals and businesses and people and educators across the state of Iowa to talk about our focused agenda and how we can turn the state around. We got a lot of positive feedback. We're building support, and we're going to keep doing that.
There's a fixation on politics here. I think we want to focus on policy, but okay, I'll let her answer.
Joyce, you're relentless. You know, that'll happen. It'll happen in time. I'm proud to be serving as Lieutenant Governor and as a partner for Governor Branstad. We serve as a team. We ran as a team. I have the opportunity. I'm involved in the National Lieutenant Governors Association, and there's a lot of lieutenant governors out there that don't have the opportunity to serve with a partner like I do. I'm very appreciative of that. I think it's good for stability and continuity of government. So we're just going to keep working with Governor Branstad.
Governor, I have a policy question.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you.
And how unusual. This is.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I respect everyone and respect people's rights and opinions. Obviously, tonight I'm going to be speaking at the Iowa Business Council, and then I think there's a reception also for Susan Voss, who is leaving as our insurance commissioner. But certainly, we respect people's rights to have different viewpoints on these various issues, but I think my position is pretty well known.
I have a test tonight, so I'm committed, so I'm not going to be able to go, but I think it's important to continue to have the conversations and the dialogue, and I think that's why they're in the state. So I think both of us have made our positions very well known.
But you will keep your present position
Our position is that it should go to a vote of the people, and that's the position that I've always indicated. I've never indicated what my position is on that, because I thought that the Iowa individuals had the right to weigh in on that decision, that they felt the Supreme Court didn't give them the right to weigh on that, and that's always been my position.
Well, I guess what we're saying, we respect all the different viewpoints that are out there, but we have also stated our position, and we're comfortable with that, and we'd also respect there are people that have different viewpoints. You had a policy question. Well, first of all, I respect the ideas that are being floated in the legislature by various people about how we can return a significant portion of this surplus to the citizens of Iowa because it came from them. I also think it's important that we address things that are going to grow the economy and bring us more jobs. My focus is on reducing the property taxes and reforming education. But I'm also open to considering other things that can be done, but I think it needs to be done in conjunction with approving those important priorities.
Could you afford your priorities if you gave these tax credits back?
Well, first and foremost, I respect that we have two houses of the legislature. They have two very different perspectives on these issues, and I have chosen to kind of set my priority as property tax relief. Based on the experience of the last 2 years, I think we have really put together a plan that assures local governments that we're going to provide 100% reimbursement for them. We're going to fully fund the homestead tax credit, the elderly and disabled tax credit. We're going to put Iowa on a path towards reducing the tax for commercial industrial taxes without shifting it to other classes of property. We've done a lot to perfect and improve this, and this is something we think can generate bipartisan support. Once we've accomplished that, I'm willing to also look at other tax reductions that we might be able to make Iowa more competitive in the future as well.
Governor, are you concerned that spending on surplus, as the Republicans have suggested, would actually jeopardize your plans for property taxes?
Well, first of all, I have been around a few of these legislative sessions, and I respect and recognize the viewpoints of the different parties in the different houses of the legislature. And I recognize that Senator Bolcom and Senate Democrats have a different viewpoint than the Republicans do on this. I have to work with all of them, and I want to get something that's going to be approved and become law. And I want it to be something that's going to make this state grow and attract more business and jobs and keep us on the right track. We made great progress. I appreciate the fact that there are many people in the legislature would like to immediately provide major property tax or major tax relief to citizens. I happen to think that there's many things we can accomplish if we maintain fiscal discipline, but the top priorities I have is property tax relief and reforming education. Well, I think we have to look at how things go in terms of revenue coming to the future. It's my understanding this wouldn't even take effect until next year. And so I think we can wait and see. And the other thing it's going to decide is how much money are we going to spend in other areas like Medicaid, state employee salaries have to be resolved. And so we need a budget that's balanced. We want one that we want a two-year budget, and we have five-year projection. We want to make sure that it's sustainable for that whole five-year period. So that's my role as governor, is put together a budget that's balanced and sustainable for the long term, and I want to make sure that can be accomplished, and I try to accommodate as much as we can priorities that legislators have as well. No kidding. Well, wait a minute. Taking things out of context, I want to go back. I mean, you were probably in grade school when this decided, but I was lieutenant governor. I was lieutenant governor, and you probably were in grade school. That's intended to be a compliment. But what happened is, I think, late in Governor Ray's term, there was a rebate that was provided. Now, in retrospect, the economy then turned south right after that. I think I may have said that, you know, it wouldn't matter if we'd have put that money into a rainy day fund. Well, but I also said that thank God we didn't spend it, because then we'd had another $50 million to cut. So I think I stand by what I said. But I want you to know the whole context of it. Spending the $50 million on additional state spending would have made our problem that much worse. We'd have had to cut that much more. But the good news is, in 1986, we passed major spending reform. We established the cash reserve and economic emergency account. Then, fast forward, 2010, I run for governor again because we'd had a 10% across-the-board cut. We'd had those major cash reserve and economic emergency accounts substantially depleted by the previous administration. I came back to restore fiscal stability and responsibility and make sure that we have a budget that's balanced, that we stop the bad practice of using one-time money for ongoing expenses, and that we restore those cash reserve and economic emergency accounts. We've done that. And now as we look to the future, we're in a position to be able to make some good decisions on how can we best use those resources. And I think a lot of Iowans, first of all, they don't want us to raid the cash reserve and economic emergency accounts, and this proposal doesn't do that. It maintains those. But then in addition to that, I think it's important that we look at tax reductions that are going to propel economic development and growth and grow the economy and increase not only jobs but personal income for our citizens. And we also have the goal to restore Iowa to best in American education. So that's where I have really focused our agenda and in our priorities.
Rod, final topic.
Maybe close on politics again.
Oh, no. I don't know much about that subject, so. Well, I think you all know that. I don't need it. Well, it means, I don't know that my perspective is any different than anybody else. For decades and decades, since the 1970s, we've had two United States senators from Iowa that are very strong and very popular, Senator Grassley and Senator Harkin. I mean, Harkin is the junior senator. So Grassley was elected 1980. Harkin was elected in 1984. So for all those years, they have been our, and I think when you take the pair together, they're the most senior pair in the United States Senate. Now all of a sudden, Senator Harkin has made the decision not to run. That means one of these Senate seats that's been held by him for a long period of time is going to be open. And with that situation, obviously, there's a lot of people that maybe didn't want to run against the, you know, it's never easy to beat an incumbent. I know, but I beat one, you know. And I can tell you, it's never easy to beat an incumbent. And now you have a situation where this United States Senate seat does not have an incumbent. And so there's a lot of people that may have had some thoughts or ambition that are now all of a sudden saying, well, maybe this is my chance. This is the opportunity.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ha 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 ha.